We've been studying the book of Colossians. I think we made it to third chapter, maybe the 11th verse or so. Actually, I think we finished that. We'll be starting somewhere around the 12th, but may go back for context. But y'all just help us along. I'll go ahead and read the 11th. So, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And that Scythian is a location, a name given to northern part of Asia, is what that was. And then in the 12th, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So put on, as in like dressing yourself. Really take this on. Really, really make this personal. And we'll come back to this probably a little bit. I don't want to fast-track these next few things, but these next few verses are all going to tie together pretty well, I think. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So that forbearing is pausing, withholding from action, exercising of patience is how that was explained or defined. And so just read that again, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. So having patience there, withholding from action. So not being urgent or urged to do something. Forbearing one another, it says, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any. And remember, he's talking to the church here at Colossae. So he's given this in a letter. And these are things that he's reminding them to do. And above all these things, put on charity in the 14th. And we know that, and it says it there, to put on, doesn't it? Just as in the 12th, it means to make this personal, to really take this on. And charity meaning love, which is the bond of perfectness. And then in the 15th, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So, sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? And it says to allow the peace within their rule, meaning something we can choose to do as saved church members. So that is a choice that we make. It's not mandated by the Lord, and we don't just do that out of our unfree will, but because of our free will, we should choose to do these things. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's some real wise advice. It seems that when we teach kids, I know a lot of times that they'll put things into song. They'll put it into a cadence. They'll put it into something with rhythm, won't they? So they can be reminded of these things. Well, we can do these things as well, singing old church songs, when things go to getting a little tough. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So giving thanks there. As we finished our prayer a minute ago, Brother Jeff said, in Jesus' name we pray. You ever thought, that's biblical. Right here we read that, isn't it? That's what it says, giving thanks to Him. Now, as we start in here to the 18th verse, this kind of seems like it comes out of nowhere, doesn't it? Because you're thinking, well, maybe they should have interjected the chapter to stop there, and maybe this should have been the starting of the fourth chapter. Definitely a break there, it seems. But let's see if we can understand the context from the 12th to the 17th and then pull this into it. So first, in the 18th, we're going to talk about wives submitting yourselves unto your own husbands. In the 19th, we're going to talk about husbands. In the 20th, we're going to talk about children. In the 21st, mentioning the fathers, meaning their role as a husband as well as a father. But think about this. Now let's take the 18th. Now that we've kind of brought that out to light, wives submitting yourselves unto your own husbands. Now let's take that wives and let's go back to the 12th and let's put that into context. What if we were to put in wives, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. Also, putting in that, the husband. Husband, put on therefore as the elect of God. You see where I'm going with this. Take this, the 18th, 19th, and 20th, and understand you have to have these things understood as a personal level for you to be a good wife, to be a good husband, to be good children, obey. That come out really quick, but I struggled with that for quite a few hours reading that. I just could not get, what is that? How in the world do you jump to something like that, Paul? What have you done to it? You know, why didn't they put a new chapter in there? Why didn't they make that the fourth and then the fourth the fifth? Why wouldn't? And I was just completely missing it. I now believe that's what he means by this. That's why he put this in there. This is the heart direction. This is the frame of mind we should have as these roles in our life of being a good wife, of being a good father. So, any thoughts on any of that before we get into?
Children, the fathers, they all fall under the category of the next verse too.
Amen. 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 Agreed. Anyone else? So, as we look at this, no doubt we're going to be, if we're talking wives and husbands, we're talking marriages, we're talking homes, we're talking the backbone of what we believe to be a moral society. So, we as married couples, we all struggle, no doubt about it. And when we start struggling, normally it's because we don't have these things in our mindset. One or the other, right? Or both of us. And then, you know, whether it be man or woman, whether it's both of us, just in the worldly frame of mind, more so than in the godly frame of mind, which is, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm sure by the time you go to wrestling kids and trying to get them all closed, everybody trying to leave on time, one wants to get there early, one wants to come in 2 or 3 minutes late, if y'all all deal with us, right? So you come flying in, and boy, you're just about at your wits' end before you get here, but then by the end of service, after service is over, it just, well, boy, that just didn't really seem like anything we should have been worried about this morning, does it? You're in a better frame of mind. You've been around God's people, been around the Spirit of the Lord, and now it ain't that big of a deal. So we recognize that when we get close to the Lord, that it is easier for the wives to submit themselves. And we'll dig into that a little bit. I know that's very harsh in today's terminology for a woman to submit herself as if fit, as it says, fit in the Lord. But we'll get to that in a bit. But if we will all be in these holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Sister, I know you're long-suffering. I know you'll continue to do these things. I don't mean to point you out, but you've asked prayer for that, and I believe this church is praying for you for that. You do it out of love that you're not expecting payback right away, but out of following the Lord, being a good servant to Him, let Him have His way. But you just be long-suffering in doing these things. Any other thoughts? The 18th, submit, comes from the Greek word that has slightly different meanings depending on if it was used as a military term or a non-military term, the best I could tell. But both you can see relatable. In a military form, the word means to arrange forces under the guidance of a leader. Non-military, the word means a voluntary attitude of cooperating, assuming responsibility, and obedience. So cooperative and obedient attitude, assuming responsibilities. So when we say that submit, that doesn't mean to be thought of lesser. That doesn't mean to be that you should physically be put down in any way, mentally put down, that you're lesser because you're given to these things. I think we've seen the Lord be very submissive as a servant to a lot of His people, didn't we? So I don't think you should ever see that word submit and think that you've done yourself an injustice in being a servant. And it says, as it is fit in the Lord. Meaning that that's what He had in plan. That's to be fitting of the Lord. That is the way that He sees this, that this is going to work. And then in the next verse, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The same type of love is mentioned here. Is that referred to as agape love? Is that the two loves that's how that's pronounced in Greek? But it's the same love that is listed in John 3:16. That's the type of love that you should have for your wife. It is a willing sacrifice or sacrificial love, giving of oneself for the benefit of another without thought of return, is how one writer put it. I liked how that was worded. And then it says, basically, not to be harsh, not to be bitter against, is how the Bible puts it. The husband that loves his wife will not be rude, unkind, cruel towards her. So that's not just for a man to be abusive and expect his wife then to turn around and be submissive towards that type of love, is it? That's not love at all. So that you could see the two there have to be cooperative, as it was mentioned earlier. If the two aren't pulling together as one, as a married couple should be, then most certainly they're not going to be united. They're not cooperating in one effort, are they? Any thoughts on any of that?
If those two things are right, I believe it'll be natural.
Amen.
I believe if the husband truly loves his wife like that, she will be submitted to you because she won't have a problem.
That's right.
And I believe if the wife is submitted to him and recognizes him being the head of the man of the house, that he'll love her. That woman, and they work together.
Amen.
When one or the other ain't there, then it don't work.
That's right.
And so in Ephesians, he compares it to the love of the church, and he And I want to tell you, that's the kind of world it's hard for us men to live up to.
Amen.
But it's sometimes hard for us as the church to be submitted to God and Christ. And sometimes it is the wives that are husbands. But if you get that right, it will work.
Amen. Well said, brother. I think, like he mentioned there, we may just turn on back there to Ephesians 5, and we may read starting around 20th, but keep in mind these letters are very, very close to one another. If you read Colossians and Ephesians, I mean, they almost line up, especially the last couple of chapters. It's just like he just wrote out a little bit of a different copy and sent one to here, sent this letter to here. So he's saying somewhat of a lot of the same stuff, but in Ephesians 5 and 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Now, if you remember, you seen that just a minute ago there in Colossians, talking about giving thanks there. And the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another. Now, there it says that they're submitting themselves. Now, that's in the church context there, but wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, just like what Brother Jeff said, the only way that's happening is because they both submitted themselves there to the Lord. You've got one that is looking out for the betterment of his wife, and the wife has no problem submitting to that type of love. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So hopefully we were able to kind of put that in context as we go back to Colossians of where our mindset and where we ought to be thinking before we just pull this verse out and throw that at the wife, and don't you forget it. Yeah. There's 3 and 18. Woman, deal with it. That don't work too well. Marty, have you tried that?
And ask God to send you that person, and y'all are really put together with God, and you put God first in your life, you're going to love your husband, you're going to love your wife, because you're going to listen to God. And that's what God wants you to do. I guess I love Terry better than I did myself. I would go hungry for him just like I never had to, but I would have for him, even like I did for my kids. And if the husband loves his wife like that, he would do the same for her.
Amen. Sure,
but if you put God first and you're in church, and then your wife or husband second, you ain't got no worries, because you're going to take care of them if you really put God first in your life, because you'll listen to him.
Amen.
And he wants us to love your wife or your husband. That's how I feel. Amen. And I failed him a lot of times.
Amen. God bless you.
I was going to think of the same thing where she said that if one person gets where they're not relying on God as much as they should have, it does mess with the whole lot.
Yep.
And it messes with the husband and wife, and it takes both of them
mm-hmm.
being where they need to be with God to even make a marriage work in the first place. So I was kind of same page as Mom.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Unequally yoked.
Yeah.
when one's not pulling their weight, but that doesn't mean that they won't come back around. I've been there. Back when me and Heather first started coming to church, it seemed like she was the one dragging me. And then there for a while, she didn't feel like coming. I'd be the one urging her, you know. Have y'all ever had that happen? Seemed like when one gets a little weak, the other one just got to lean into the load a little harder. We don't know how long we're going to be pulling that load by ourselves or unequally. Maybe you're just leaning into it a little more. And I've mentioned this before. If you've ever seen a good mule pull, it's very relatable, Brother Bray. I'm sure you've seen it. You go up to places like Lagodies, Indiana, and I mean, it's just the world of them folks up there. Just great big old, I mean, just some of the prettiest pairs you've ever seen. I mean, just unbelievable. And you'll see some of the mismatchedest bunch you've ever seen, and you're thinking, well, that bunch ain't got a chance. Be a great big one standing there about 17 hands high, and a little old fella about 14 and a half, and you're like, that just looks like a train wreck walking. You're like, good Lord, I don't see how that's going to work. And you'll see that big one just lean into that load and then that little and just get the hammer in that thing, and he's just over here fighting in that big and just digging. You just see the dirt flying up underneath his hooves, and they're both going at it in different methods, but because they're yoked together, they get the sled to move. But it's a whole lot easier when they are leaning into the load at the same time.
Ain't happen, I guess that's when that forbearing one another comes to play.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just going to say it takes a lot of effort, whether it's church or marriages or anything else. And I think a lot of times that's how come a lot of marriages don't work because we just quit.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's how come churches don't work because we just quit. You know, let somebody else do it. I don't feel like it. I mean, he didn't give us no option here whether we felt like it or not.
Amen.
I mean, you know, some things is hard to do. That's
yes.
Forbearing.
Amen.
And, you know, being patient and kind is all that stuff. That don't come natural.
No, sir.
I mean, but it's just like you said, you proved it when you're talking about the mule. I mean, it's just, it's hard to make that effort.
Amen.
Sometimes you get to think, boy, that's just, it ain't worth the effort, but it is.
And that's amen.
Just the devil coming on the scene, you know, causing it to be messed up. But yeah, I think that's something we have to do whether we feel like it or not.
Amen. God bless you. But I reckon it's kind of good to know we've all been there, right? Me and Heather's been married 19 years now. I can speak to some good years, tough years, you know. I'm sure if Sheila was up here, she'd have a lot to talk about.
I got to thinking a few years ago, maybe we just got so old, too hard for us and all that. I really think now, just because we both submitted ourselves more to God.
Amen. Amen.
And our home has changed. It ain't that we're too old to fight, but we still have plenty to fight about. She's doing me, trust me. But I think it's just to the point that, and I ain't saying we don't ever disagree. We still do, but it ain't like it used to be. There was time for it. You know, we had not found drag outs, and you was ready to just quit. And you just didn't want to be around each other, and you just tired of it. And you love the kids. You think we just stay together for the kids' sake. You know, have y'all ever been there just being honest? Some of you may have not, but there's some of us. But the last 20, 25 years, it's just like, it's been easy. You know, you can't imagine not being together.
Amen.
And I think that's because the change God made in our lives. Not that we've got too old, that we don't want to argue or fuss or take too much effort. It's just we don't have a desire.
Amen.
And so I really think it's got a whole lot to do. God.
And amen.
Resisting the devil and get away from you. If you want to get submitted, that's where it's at. And if we'll submit ourselves to God, then it's easy to submit yourself to your helpmate. It really is. Then we can resist the devil and get him out of our home.
Amen.
And,
Amen. Anything else? Appreciate that, brother. In the 20th verse, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I wonder if I can get that for wallpaper. I mean, like a 20-foot section. What do you think? You think we can get a printer to make that happen?
I was wondering if at least we could go down and bring them back up for a minute. You know, that one more time?
Children, obey your parents in all things.
The worst part about that is that you still got a parent.
Yeah. You don't want us reading that later, do you, brother? We've said it enough.
Yeah, maybe just right now, not here in 15 to 20 minutes.
And fathers, in the 21st, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know, I guess for me, that one hits home because I mean, you don't want to provoke them to anger. You want them to be prepared, thoughtful. For each action, there's a reaction, you know. There's cause and effect. Because you did this, this was the effect, you know. And it seems like I'm forevermore bringing that to my kids. I want them to realize, hey, did you not see that coming? Did you not know that was going to happen? And then when I do that, I notice that it sometimes provokes them to anger. So I definitely need help in that area of delivering that. But the intent is not to anger them. It's to recognize that there's other people that's going to be affected by what you do. But we don't want to discourage our children. We want them to be encouraged. We want them to be able to handle the struggles of life, not to be prideful, although that's how just about every one of us was brought up. Take pride in what you do. Ain't you got any pride about you? Can't you do any better than that? I remember hearing those things, you know. If you want to do better, you're going to have to, you know, practice. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to, you know, but it seemed like that was the term that was thrown around a lot when I was a kid. Have some pride about your work. Have some pride in what you do. Well, then what are we full of? We're full of pride whenever it comes time that the Lord would just absolutely need to break that down for you to be saved. So we need to be very careful of what traits that we're putting into our kids' mind. Servants, like Brother Barry said, this comes down to servants. Obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service nor men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. I do believe we're all servants, and I believe possibly in this context, he's very well talking about people that are men servants, women servants, slaves, if you will. And their job is to do what what their owners and what their people tell them to do, and they can do this. There's a way of, it says, to not with eye service as men pleasers, meaning just when somebody's watching you that you're doing these things, Weatherston Strawberry Patch or wherever it might be, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. But in singleness of heart, a sincere disposition, fearing God. And whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So do it heartily, I think, is in short, whatever you do, do it the best that you can with all his strength. And this is not for earthly master, but for God. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And the reward being our salvation, I believe is what that is. And of the inheritance, and you have to be a child of God for an inheritance, don't you? You got to be a child of one to get those things. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You do wrong, you're going to pay for it. Any thoughts on any of that? I really thought we might get a little bit further, but that's all right too. We may be at a good place to stop there for the day and see our visitors and speak with our brothers and sisters. But would y'all have anything to add? Feel free. I've enjoyed this morning.
Read or hear read that 23rd verse without thinking about what you mentioned about that cook.
Man.
Making dinner for all them people, not realizing that the king was fixing to eat there.
Amen.
Remember that.
Amen. Well said. Anything else? Yeah, that says to do it heartily as to the Lord, doesn't it? If you, whatever you're going to do, do it as if you were doing it for the Lord. If nothing else, we may be at a good place to stop, and we'll start back with the Lord willing, around with the fourth chapter, and we'll try to learn a little bit about who those folks are that he mentions down through there. So, anything else, feel free. If not, we'll consider ourselves dismissed this morning. Be prayerful for the service coming up, and Brother Jeff needs our prayers. Preach it here in a funeral here after a while, if the Lord's will. If nothing else, consider yourself dismissed.